Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whenever you're listening. This is the Fool's Folly Podcast.
Kill, ready? Kill. As I'll ever be.
I'm just gonna hit record, because it never means the start of the show. No, anyway.
It really does not, just, no.
It's the start of the stuff that you've got to play with.
It's the beginning of the drivel.
Beginning. Where does the guff start, Connor? It starts right here.
It starts right here and continues for at least an hour. Oh. So how you doing, mate? What have you been up to? How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm hungover. So sorry, yes, for anyone watching. If I'm a little bit slower than normal, these are normally booze-fueled broadcasts that we do.
Nice and fools trolleyed.
Fools trolleyed. But this week, what happened is, I went on a booze run for this, and I bought beer and I bought wine, because I didn't know what I would fancy on the day, but I bought a few bottles of beer and a bottle of wine. That was on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, I then drank the beer. And I mean all the beer. I drank the beer and sat and watched The Vicar of Dibley. That's what I did.
Nice. That sounds like a good evening.
Yeah, it was a nice evening. So I did that. And then obviously yesterday, as you know, because I was with you while I was doing it, I drank the entire bottle of wine that I'd bought. And you know me as a drinker. I'm not a big drinker, really.
Not really, are you? No.
I don't know how I feel about the fact that I am now someone who can just put a bottle of wine away.
I feel like, I know you're
obviously... So I would normally not be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, you're quite a slender dude, sort of your framework. You're a little bit of a slender gentleman. So, you know, but putting away a bottle is not the end of the world, I think, mate. I think it's all good. I think you're hardly an alcoholic. If you had that at breakfast, we might be having this meeting might be very different. All of a sudden, I'd be bringing in everyone and putting intervention at the top.
Wow. For me, though, I don't know about you, but for me, it's the sun's out.
That's the thing. I was on my sort of my daily allotted exercise today, and just sort of be basking in just how fucking nice the sun is. Mm. I was absolutely... I'm furious because of how nice it is. Absolutely furious because of how nice
but
it is.
But you're still out in it.
I just want to be in it. But it just doesn't feel the same. It's not the same.
Because we're not in pubs. It's because we're not in pubs.
We're not sat down in a beer garden. We're not sort of like... you know, we're not sort of hanging out with our friends. We're not being able to get... Which is, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I suppose, is fine. But hey, you know, it would just be nice to be able to utilise this sunshine. Because you know full well, as soon as this lockdown is over, it is just going to be like fucking downpour. And the weather is going to be horrible.
That is going to be the really cruel irony of it, isn't it? Yeah.
It will really be. It will be horrific out there. And I can't wait.
Where I go at the moment is I found a fishing lake. There's a fishing lake near where I live. And anyone who has me on Facebook, and I'm sure I'll put it up on Instagram if you follow me on Instagram at the moment, is that this is a fishing lake that I used to go to quite a lot as a kid, and then purely because of lockdown rediscovered it as a walking route that I could go to, and no one goes there. Like, no one. It's the route that I do where I bump into no one, and I can go in, and there are these two fishing lakes, and they're massive, right? And they've got the fishing bays, and the fishing bays are technically closed to fishers because of COVID-19.
It makes sense.
But no one's going to bother you if you're not fishing, right?
Yeah.
No one's there to bother you, just go and sit. So I just go and sit in the shady little booth, particularly when the sun's out, and I just go and sit. I'll go and sit in there for, you know, my allotted time.
Yeah. Oh, you're such a bad boy, Dan. You're the bad boy of the group.
fuck you, Dominic Raab. Fuck you, Dominic Raab. What a tosser. There's something very Ted Bundy about him, I've realised.
Isn't there? A bit serial killer.
So Ted Bundy. I don't know. But he reminds me of Ted Bundy, and to be honest, out of the two of them, I know which one I'd rather go for a pint with, and it's
It's Tedward.
Yeah, it's Ted. But anyway, I go and sit and fish.
You're not getting killed. He's not killing you. He only killed me.
Yeah. I go and... Wow. So I go and sit in a fishing lake. And nice. Not in the lake. In
that would be
bay.
Mental.
That would be mental. But today I put a video up because one of the things that has been causing me, has always caused me curiosity as a kid, is that as far as I could see, I know that there is water around. Mm-hmm. I know that there is like rivers around somewhere, but because I can't see where the connecting water is to these lakes, where it's not immediately I can point to it
it's
and go, that's
apparent. Yeah.
It's not apparent. As a kid, I was always fascinated about how the fish get there.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Because
sure,
I always thought,
of,
like,
yeah.
Well, this... Because it appears to be landlocked,
yeah.
As were. I go, well, there can only be a finite amount of fish. And once all the fishermen have fished them, where are the fish replenished?
Mm.
So as a kid, I genuinely thought that a man would come and to deliver fish for the fishermen to catch.
Right, okay.
And I know that that's mental. This is what I was saying. This is what I was saying in the video. I know that that is mental now as a 27-year-old, but because I still can't point to the external source of water, I still can't totally rule out that that's not the case.
That's not true. Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine, mate. That's totally fine. I suppose, actually, before we sort of go much further, we should introduce ourselves. Thank you very much. thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for coming back and watching. It's episode five.
It's episode five of the Apocalypse Office Party.
Yeah, grab a drink, grab your bitches, and come and have a party with us. Chin. I'm still on the booze because I like punishing my liver. Apparently, So do I.
I just did it too much too quick this week.
That's fine, mate. That's absolutely fine. And you know, these things going on. World is a strange place at the moment. Oh, actually, I should probably hang on. Did you bring the thing I asked you to bring? Yeah. Did you?
No.
Okay. Just while we talk about the next part here, I thought I'd bring my little tinfoil hat, just to be protected.
Against 5G?
No, against the aliens, oh, okay. Darren.
Right, go on.
Have you not?
Explain.
You've obviously not been keeping up. So if me and the other realists, we've obviously been keeping up with the news recently. And so last week, the Pentagon released footage of the UFOs.
Right.
So
yeah, go on.
So last week, the Pentagon released footage of unidentified flying objects, confirming obviously the existence of alien life form. So I'm just wearing my PPE given to me by the government to protect myself from them sending messages and rays directly into my brain. So I thought I'd don my tinfoil hat here. Which is obviously protecting me from... I've got this little slit here as a fashion statement because accessorize is always... is obviously in my vocabulary. Mm. But yeah, so...
Do you feel safe?
Did you... I feel much safer now, yeah. So yeah. Did you not see... This is genuinely... This is a true story.
No, I'm not
making this up. So last week, the Pentagon, which is obviously the big defence, shape in... In America,
the big defense shape. Yes,
the big defense
shape.
I think that's how it's officially known. Anyway, so last week they announced, they released two videos of actual UFOs. Actual unidentified flying objects flying around during a combat exercise with the military. I think it was in 2004.
Okay.
So obviously, it's confirming the aliens are on their way. Or it's the biggest look at this tactic of 2020 so far, that isn't COVID-19. I haven't quite decided which one yet, but I've got my PPE, and I've got my, and I've got my wits about me. So, no 5Gs, getting into my brain. No 5G's coming at me. No aliens, are beaming messages into my brain. The Illuminasty, which is my little fun little play on words for the Illuminati. They're not getting hold of me anymore. They're not appearing in my dreams or anything. Ever since I donned my little protective hat, and I did advise you get one, but evidently you've not taken the warning seriously. But that's all right, I suppose. Whatever floats your boat, mate.
This is now.
Mm-hmm.
This is now the party that no one wants to go to. This is a D&D convention. That's what this is.
D&D is fucking massively popular, mate. D&D concerts are some of the new rock stars in this world. I'm going to take this off now, though, because that was a thing I decided to do. Get a fucking tinfoil hat. I suppose actually off the back of that, do you, aliens, where do you stand on the idea of aliens? Sort of like intelligent life, well, it might be an interesting thing to talk about. Intelligent life sort of outside our realm, or outside our world, excuse me.
Because I bought the sheet, because I have to reattach the sheet each week. Again, I have to. I could just make the choice not to.
Yeah, you could.
I choose to. And also, then I put my mic on my desk, on the tray on my desk. But everything's everything's a little bit closer to me than it looks on the camera. So I'm quite squashed in. So every time I move, I bang and I nearly knock the tray back and the mic nearly falls. Where do I stand on aliens? I am of the opinion that inevitably there's probably something else out there.
It's got to be, right, I think. Because it's interesting, because I was having this conversation with someone else sort of last week when this footage came out. It's what is scarier, the idea that we are alone in the universe or the idea that we are not? Which of those two actually it scares you more? Because I have an opinion. I'd be curious to know what yours is.
Oh, I'd be more scared if we were alone.
That I am of the exact same opinion.
Karen.
No, it's fine. I was just gonna say the idea that there is nothing, this is it, and because it is finite, the idea of that really frightens me. Not to the point where I'm sort of up at night carrying it, worrying about it, but just the idea of being alone and there being nothing else. And I also suppose it depends on your definition of intelligent life, right? If they're the, I'm going to come and conquer you, sort of, Romans coming over to Britain, that's kind of scary. That's a scary thought to have. But if they're, much like us, fairly ambivalent as a people, aren't we like a warfare...
We're quite a warfaring...
I was about to say, yeah.
We're quite a warfaring... group.
Are we the scariest thing out there? Then that's.
I do imagine. Well. I probably imagine we probably are the bad guys.
Yeah. Are we the baddies?
Maybe.
Question mark. Yeah. So I just thought that was a really interesting thing.
Obviously, what about ghosts? Where do you stand on ghosts?
I do believe in ghosts. I do believe in the paranormal. I do sort of like, I guess it's the fantasist in me loves the idea of like cryptozoology. So the idea of like Bigfoot and the Abominable Snowman and Mothman what's the cannibally one that I can't remember the name of right now. Forgotten the name of it. Oh, Wendigo is the thing I'm thinking of. Like these things. Part of me does sort of go the Loch Ness Monster, all that kind of stuff. I think that's kind of cool because I think it's the fantasist in me, the idea that there is this whole other part of our world that we can't see or we're blind to it. Sometimes for our own safety, perhaps, because these things would blow our minds a little bit, I think, if they were real.
That's an interesting idea. Yeah.
It's just interesting that since the advent of high-powered cameras on your phone, the sightings of of these mythical beings has obviously decreased dramatically.
But
who knows? What about you? Where do you stand on the old paranormal and ghosts?
Well, you know that one of the jobs I do is that I one of the jobs I did do was that I managed paranormal investigations. As I was a duty manager for a venue that was haunted. It was supposedly haunted, one of the most haunted theatres in the country. So it attracted scores of paranormal investigators to it each year. And I used to manage the event. And when I started, I've been doing that job for a few years. Yeah. And when I started, I was complete like, oh, piss off. Don't talk to me about that.
An unbeliever.
I'm still ultimately like, oh, I'm not buying it. But I'm not quite as hardened as I used to be. A few things happen that make you go,
It's those small things, isn't it? The small things that happen that make you question. And I think it's always good to keep an open mind, right? To be agnostic about ghosts and aliens.
the most batshit mental thing I ever saw was, I don't know if we've ever talked about it on the podcast before.
I don't think we have, no.
Is I saw, supposedly, someone get possessed by Jack the Ripper. By the spirit of Jack the Ripper. Bear in mind, like, this theatre is in Margate.
Yep.
And I actually have since found out there might be connections between Jack the Ripper and Thanet.
Interesting.
But loosely. So at the time I was like, well, fucking hell, really?
Really?
but suppose this medium, his like link to the other side was Jack the Ripper. He was like his guy.
Yeah. Because of course it wouldn't be unnamed serial killer that never got caught, you know.
Exactly.
It would obviously be someone, you know, very famous.
Someone who's a draw.
Weird that, isn't it?
Weird that, right?
Weird. Yeah.
Well, I can put that on the side. He put it on the side of his car. that was the thing. He basically had a fucking Mystery Ink van, and it was just like then Jack the Ripper on the side of his van. He showed me it. That was weird. Like that he'd only weird, just met me, and he came in, and he was quite an intense bloke.
Oh, well, I wouldn't have guessed.
I wouldn't have guessed. But, you know, he walks in.
He's got
in
a mental link to Jack the Ripper, yeah.
He just goes, got my truck done up.
Okay, brilliant.
He's like, do you want to see my truck? And I should have said no.
Yeah.
But I said yes.
I would have had to say yes. I would need to see that, to be honest.
And he was like, proper artwork all around the side of this truck. I think neon, if I remember, like a neon underglow.
Of course there was.
But anyway, so his link apparently to the paranormal was Jack the Ripper. And at the end of this investigation he brought Jack the Ripper through.
Nice.
And the spirit of Jack the Ripper possessed someone, and then he channeled one of the spirits of one of the victims.
Right.
And that possessed one of the other participants. And I was sat, bear in mind this is in complete darkness. I mean, I can see them, but, you know, it's dark. All the lights are off. Watching this team of paranormal investigators having to hold back these two possessed people. Make of that what you will. I'm not casting any aspersions, but as they were trying to get at each other.
Oh, my God. It's just...
And supposedly, like, they'd never met.
Yeah, all right, mate.
There you go.
Is that a bit like hypnotism? So is it because you're in the moment, you don't want... You essentially... It's that manipulation thing, right? It's the idea of following orders and being told what to do, and you don't want to disobey authority.
I think there's
instance, and is it a bit like that?
I think there's a bit of that. I mean, I know I'm pretty certain that's kind of how Ouija boards work.
Yeah, there's
or Ouija books. Ouija boards work on kind of group consciousness.
Yeah,
in a way. And we all know that, you know this as actors, that group consciousness is absolutely a thing.
Definitely is.
It's a thing you learn, and you know, when you do ensemble work, it's what you're aiming to get to. The idea that you can kind of instinctively be in tune with another group of human beings. And if you're all really focused and you're willing an idea, you can do that.
Mm.
It happens. What actually is happening is that someone often subconsciously slowly starts that charge, and then everyone follows.
Yeah.
And what you don't want in that kind of situation to get something going is to someone who's a real, real skeptic.
Yeah.
Who will break
that. Because actually
that.
They're, yeah, who will break that. I think it's the same with hypnotism. Yeah, it's the same, same with hypnotism. I think it's a very, very similar thing. What is on the schedule for this week? Well, what's next on the
schedule? What's next? So, let's do some quickfire questions.
Do some quickfire questions. All right, mate, let's do that.
Quickfire questions for you, Connor Maud. Question one. Have you ever loved someone you shouldn't have?
Yes.
How many days do you think you'd survive in a zombie apocalypse?
Oh, not many, but I think I'd get past the first couple of days. I'd probably give myself like 6 months to a year.
What gets you excited?
What gets me excited? Emotionally unavailable women. I can't, that's the same joke. Plagiarising myself. What gets me excited? Other people's passion can get me quite excited, actually, normally as well.
Oh, you must have really enjoyed that Zoom call we were on yesterday. Because no one else did. What's the best type of hat?
The best type of hat? A bucket hat. No, a pork pie hat.
Okay.
Change your mind.
What's your vice?
My vice is emotionally unavailable women. my vice, Reese's peanut butter cups.
There's a real shift there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because really it is emotionally unavailable women.
Okay. Rank the Spice Girls.
Okay, yes. Yes, this is my favourite part. Yeah, okay.
In order of who you'd most trust with a secret, from least to most.
Oh, that is interesting. Who I would least trust with a secret? God,
Emma. No, so who you most? Who you would most trust?
Least. Oh right, yeah. Least. Sorry. Yeah. So from least to most, who I would trust with a secret? Emma Bunt is last. Sorry, Emma.
Why? Why?
So because I've slagged her off so much at this point. If I tell her any secrets,
it's a really logical answer. Yeah.
She's telling on me straight away, right?
Yeah, of course she is.
Then probably Mel C, just because I think Mel, I think she, I don't even know if I've got an exact reason as to why. I just think she'd be less trustworthy than the other people on the list. Then probably Victoria Beckham.
Yeah.
Just because I think she would be a bit of a gossip. And I have no real basis for that. I just think she's a bit of a goss. Then it's Jerry.
Well, Jerry's okay. Jerry's going up.
I think Jerry would be pretty good at keeping a secret. She seems like a really trustworthy person, just from the little that I know about her.
I mean, she is the one of the Spice Girls that left first.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Doesn't mean she's not trustworthy, though. She left because she, like, you know, the band started to decline in popularity, right, I guess? Or the band was so popular she thought she could make it on her own. I don't really know a lot about the Spice Girls, I guess, is what I'm saying. And then, of at the top, it's my best mate. It's my best mate in the whole world. It is Mel B.
We should tweet her. We should see if she'd, like, be into, you know, we should see if we get her on.
Come on the show. She should come on the show. We should tweet at her. Mel, you've been ranked number one at the top of every Spice Girls list. I just think she'd be really, really trustworthy. I think she'd be able to keep a secret. Mm-hmm. And again, it's because I want to be mates with Mel B, basically, is what I'm saying. I really like Mel B.
More fun. Yeah. A victimless crime that you've always wanted to have a go at.
A victimless crime that I've always wanted to have a go at. Oh, God.
That suggested that there are victim crimes that you've also...
Yeah, I mean, haven't we all? We've all fantasized about murdering someone and how we do it, right? That like, we've all done well, that. There's no way that we haven't. A victimless crime. What would you... So what could, give me some parameters. What would a victimless crime be?
So it's... So I would go, so at the moment, bank, I... Yeah,
is
it's tricky, isn't it?
Is that a victimless crime?
But I'll let that go. Because mine would be... Oh, no, no, no. Yeah. I'll let you say yours because I don't want to...
So, yeah, it's difficult. But I think maybe something like... Yeah, something that would net me a lot of money in an area where I could do not a lot of harm to other people. Mm. So I wouldn't want to rob like a store, but like a bank or something like that seems fairly victimless.
Okay.
Something like that, I think.
Okay. Mine is very similar. I'd like to do the get a JCB and rip a cash point out the wall.
Yeah, so that seems fairly victimless.
Sounds
yeah,
fun, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Just, I think I'd quite like to ride a JCB. I
think you can do that, mate. We'll go Digland when this is all over. If you like.
What are you looking forward to when lockdown's over? We're going to go Digland.
Me and Dan, we're going Digland.
We're going Digland.
We're going Digland.
We've gone northern for some reason. We're going to Digland.
We're going Digland.
Do you believe in destiny?
No, I believe we make our own way in this world.
Oh, good. Where would you like to retire to?
Ooh. Do you know what? It sounds a bit cliche. Unless I never leave here. Here? Thanet, I think, would be quite a nice place to retire. But I wouldn't do that if I spend the rest of my life here. I'd want to go and come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Final question.
If I did end up living here forever, which hopefully not, Brighton probably.
Final question. Mm-hmm. How do we solve the problem that is Michael Owen?
Oh God. We probably all need to get some more tinfoil hats. And then we can have, you know, essentially like a gathering of the minds where he can't see into our thoughts because we're all wearing the protective PPE of a tinfoil hat. But I think we'd need to get our best and brightest together in some PPE to eventually be able to take him down.
I mean, it is worth a Cobra meeting, isn't it, to fucking deal with my plan.
It is indeed.
Colin Moore, those are all your quick fire questions.
Very nice. Week. Thank you very much. Right, let me dig... sorry, one second. Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry, one second, mate. Sorry.
That's all right. You're all right.
Right, okay.
I don't know if I've got a film.
You want me to wear this? Right, okay. Oh, okay. And you've got them there? Oh, okay, good. Okay, right then. Hi, mate. Sorry about that. I just had to make a quick costume change. Sorry, that was the producers in my ear.
Yeah.
They've given me a bit of a wardrobe change because they said you're not going to get any quickfire questions this week. I'm afraid not. What you're doing, because you complained about it, for the last sort of week, about all the quizzes that are happening around at the moment.
Everyone's doing a fucking quiz. Yeah.
Everyone's doing a fucking quiz, and you said, you know, you feel a little bit left out.
No one's invited me to one.
Well, you know, the producers and I have sort of got together, and we've got a little quiz tailor made especially for you. So this is my costume change. I thought I, you know, the producers might give me a quiz mastery sort of look.
That's all right. I'm into this.
Instead of
get me over my hangover, right.
Instead of quickfire questions, young Darren, here are your quickfire quiz questions.
Great. Okay.
To the nearest 10, how many goals did Alan Shearer score during his career? This is just the Premier League. This is not his English appearances. Is it 80, 180 or 280?
Oh, it's 280.
It is 280, 283 to be exact, but I thought I'd do it to the nearest 10.
Nice.
80s duo Roxette.
Oh, fuck, I don't know loads about them.
Have how many studio albums? Do you want me to give you multiple choice?
Oh, yeah, if you could.
Okay, have they got 4, have they got 10, or have they got 13?
10.
10 is spot on. They have 10 studio albums. 11 albums in total, but one is a live one, and we did not include that for this quiz. Who is, I think this is the gimme, who is the primary narrator in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein?
Oh, who's the primary narrator is... Well, I'm going to say that it's Victor Frankenstein. Because it's primarily from his point of view. You might go Robert Walton because it starts with him and is the thing. So
according
to... It's all about how you frame it.
I'm going to have to push you for a definitive answer, please, Darren.
I personally would say it is Robert Walton.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, spot on. It is indeed Robert Walton, according to SparkNotes.com. It's
Captain Robert Walton.
Indeed. In his career, how many plays did William Shakespeare write?
Isn't it
41, 38, or 51?
I thought it was 37 before, so I would say 38.
It was 41 plays.
Oh, bollocks! Why do I have 38, mate?
It was 41. Okay. I think it was 37 sonnets. I think that might be where you are going.
I have
a vague recollection. In a regular snooker game, including the white, how many balls are there?
There are 15 reds, 6 colours, so that's 21. 22.
22 is spot on. There are 22 balls.
20 balls.
As of recording, how many episodes of Shagged, Married, Annoyed have been released?
There are 64.
Oh, so close, 62.
62.
There are 62.
Jesus, okay.
How many cups, so this is English Championships and FA, have Newcastle won total?
Sweet fuck all, really. they've won... they've won 6 FA Cups.
That is correct. English Championships included in this, so how many in total? So if they won 6 FA, I believe in you so hard here.
I should really know this. I don't think it's many more, though. That's what, 10?
10 is exactly right. They won 10 Cups. 4 English Championships and 6 FA Cups.
Fuck
on my mate. What year did one of our favourite groups form, Kill the Beast? What year did they form? Was it 2010, 2011, or 2012?
I think it's 2012.
2012 is spot on. They did get formed in 2012.
I'm so happy right now.
How many specials does Eddie Izzard have? So I'll go multiple choice on this one. Does he have 9? Does he have 7? Or does he have 11? 9, 7, and 11. Gonna have to push an answer for here.
I'm gonna go 9.
9 is spot on. They have 9. And that is Sexy, Live at the Ambassadors, Force Majeure, Unrepeatable, Strip, Definite Article, Dress to Kill, Glorious, and Circle. Very last question here, Darren. One of your favourite films. What year did the movie Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy receive its theatrical release? Was it 2009, 2011, or 2013?
Oh, now I could work this out. I have to remember a relationship that I really don't want to remember. I think it was 2013. Oh, no, it's 2011.
It is 2011. Hey, well done. Well done, mate. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 out of 11 questions. Correct. You won. You didn't win anything, I'm afraid. You win me buying the first round when all this is done.
Oh, there you go. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. I think I've told you this story. I must have done, but I don't think I've ever told it on the podcast.
Possibly.
I saw that film in the cinema on a... It was, by chance, it just happened to be a glorious summer day, but I saw it at the Carlton. It was about... Film started, I think, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was with my partner at the time. We were the only people in the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at the Carlton in Westgate, and it was only one of the small screens anyway, but like the only two people in there. And I knew this should have been a warning sign. I was like, this relationship probably isn't going to carry on for much longer. Because I really wanted to see this film because the cast list was immense, right?
Great cast.
Great cast. My partner did not reciprocate my enthusiasm for watching the film and thought we were going, I think, for a very different reason.
Oh. Oh, you dirty boy.
No. And to constantly be told, I want to watch the fucking film.
I want to watch the film. Get your hands off my penis. Okay, I'm a man of God.
The only time in public I will complain about someone trying to do that. So, especially at the moment.
I know, right? It's a bit of a dry spell, mate, isn't it? Weird that. I suppose that leads us on to no better time than my favourite section and yours, Darren. Let's take ourselves over to Jim Bitch Corner. Darren Hill. I'll come to you first to ask what you are bringing to Jim Bitch Corner this week on Drink Education with Fool's Folly.
Well, there's two things I want to say, which is that I've realised, as I look into the camera, I realise that I look a little bit red, and that's nothing to do with an increased alcohol consumption. That is purely to do with being out in the sun. That, I promise, that is all it is. This week, as you know, because I overshot my own capability.
Yeah, what are you bringing then?
I'll bring you a cup of tea. I'm bringing like Tesco own brand,
nice.
Builders tea in a mug that I was given for a project I did at Christmas. The mug says, I think it says, "You are totally awesome," which is
a nice. That's a nice funny pun.
It's a decent enough pun, you know. So yeah. And actually, so, I earned that mug.
You earned that mug.
If you were on that project, if you knew the project I was on, I earned that. I earned that and then some. We had to do the Grinch with Littlins. And I was a dick and I said I'd write it.
Yeah, that was smart, mate.
About 3 days before we were due to go into rehearsal, I said, I'd write it. So I did. I wrote it in 2 hours. I wrote an adaptation of The Grinch in 2 hours. And do you know what? Really, really fucking good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice, if you don't say so yourself.
If I don't say so myself, it's really fucking good. Really sweet. Really, you know. And I did it purely as an egotistical flex because I don't like doing other people's writing. I was like, so yeah, that's what I'm bringing to Jim Bitch Corner. I've got a cup of tea and then I've got a pint of water.
You really are suffering, bless you, aren't you?
I'm not suffering. Do you know what? I think I was saying to you before we came on, I'm not suffering. I've been fine all day and then I had my dinner and I've been out in the sun. I went for a walk and then I got a bit tired. It's just behind the eyes. I didn't have very good sleep either. I actually haven't been sleeping.
You never do when you've been drinking up a lot.
No, you don't, do you?
I have a good night's sleep when I'm drinking.
You know. Conor Maud, though, what are you bringing? What are you bringing to Gin Bitch Corner?
So, I am bringing a gin.
Great.
Which makes a nice change from the last couple of weeks. So, if I haven't cut that bit out at the start of this, then you might have seen it. But I am bringing lemon sherbet gin.
Ooh.
Now I'm bringing a lemon sherbet gin. I bought this bottle yesterday, by the way. I'm bringing lemon sherbet gin, which I don't think you can really see on the camera, but it's one of those glittery ones.
Is it a liqueur?
Which is kind of like, no, it is a proper gin.
Okay.
It's not a gin liqueur. It's a proper gin, which I was surprised by. However, I did do the try it neat test, which I think should be one of our a new little game we play on Jim Mitch Corner, the try it neat test. I tried it neat. It's really good because it's kind of sweet and a little bit, but it's mostly boozy. And then I'm mixing with it. You might have sort of seen the coloration on it here. So just a little bit of ice. I didn't do any fruits or anything with this one. Kind of as nice as that probably would be. I've got Sicilian lemonade instead of a tonic with it. And honestly,
good.
It's bloody lovely. It is bloody lovely.
You can't go wrong with a Sicilian lemonade.
No, it's the perfect flavours. There's a little bit of a bitterness from the gin as most sort of gins tend to have, and then the lemonade is kind of like it's that cloudy lemonade, so it's bitterish, but it's still got that edge of sweetness to it. It's really really fucking good. It's really really nice. Probably why I drank so much yesterday and today, and so I'm gonna probably not have much more after this.
So you say it's good, neat.
It's good neat. Yeah, you can have it. You could probably drink it neat. It's a nice flavour.
Is it pleasant neat or you can stomach it?
I wouldn't say that. It's
because that's the distinction, isn't it?
Hang on. Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
You're into that. I did the Whitley Neal last week. Yeah, yeah. It'll be last week's episode.
Last week, yeah.
That's all gone, by the way. I got to the point where I was basically having a virtual drink with someone, and I had so much of this that I started drinking it neat because I ran out of tonic.
Oh, mate.
But I obviously had had so much of it that I was drinking it neat. And it wasn't just affecting me.
And not hating it. Oh, mate. Just drinking that's it. Rough neat as well.
That is rough neat. Yeah. And it's not even like I had
one after that.
It's not even like I had an insubstantial amount of it neat.
Yeah. You had enough had that fair, was bevy. Oh, God.
I had enough that I knew it was there.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing stuff. So, Darren, any definitely real positive thoughts this week?
We haven't had loads, but we've got a few.
Okay, yeah, go on.
Okay. But yes, I do have some positive thoughts for you, Connor.
Good.
Okay, so we're going to kick off. Sarah in Guildford wrote in to say, "With the weather being so nice, my husband, two kids and me held a swing ball tournament in our garden and had a barbecue.
Nice.
It was a glorious day until, due to being embroiled in a tense semi-final against our 8-year-old son, my husband miscued his timing on the chicken he was preparing the children.
Oh, God.
This led to Felix, I think is the son, having his chicken fashionably medium rare.
Chicken sashimi.
The biological carnage that followed was monstrous.
Oh, my God.
Although Graham insisted on finishing the match.
Right.
I'd never realised I was married to such a wanker until our son... until our son, out of sheer necessity, defecated in our dandelion patch.
Oh.
And instead of helping, my husband screamed, "Opponent retired through injury. I win."
Brilliant. Well done. Was that what was her name? Sorry, in Guildford.
Sarah
in Guildford.
Such a fucking middle class pursuit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Play swing ball in the garden and have a barbecue. Mm. Sorry. When was swing ball ever a middle class pursuit? What a wanker I've turned into.
It's
a tennis ball on the end of a rope.
On a bit of a string.
On a rope with a pole in the middle. It's the most working class game apart from Kerbsy. Did you ever play Kerbsy?
I did play Kerbsy, yeah.
Kerbsy was a shit game, but a brilliant game.
Yeah.
Kerbsy was, you got a ball? Yeah. We've got a curb, haven't we? Yeah. Throw the ball at the curb.
Let's bounce it back and forth between each other. But the aim of the game is for you to never touch the ball, basically.
Yeah. Actually, though, I really fucking loved Kerbsy.
I did as well. I used to do it with a basketball. That was always fun.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
That was always good.
Imagine. Back to the positive thoughts.
Back to the PTs.
Henry in Portsmouth says he's been in lockdown with his grandmother since this all started and he's cherishing every moment he has with her. She's 91.
Oh, that's very sweet.
So that's nice.
That's sweet.
Kath in Ramsgate.
Hey, look at that girl.
Kath in Ramsgate says she's thankful to live in such a picturesque area given the situation.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, very true. Could vouch for that.
Yeah. Ian in Manchester said this whole thing has made him realise he needs to tell those he loves that he loves them more often.
I think we could all do a bit more of that.
Especially if I keep drinking the amount of wine I'm drinking.
That's very true.
I'm either going to build some very strong bridges during this lockdown or I'm going to have burnt them. So just accept my love, you bastards.
Just accept my love. Look, I've got it in an envelope for you. Oh, this envelope's wet. Sorry.
Megan in Wolverhampton's been back in touch.
Megan in Wolverhampton's been back. Good. Can't wait to watch what she said.
So do you remember? So 2 weeks ago, she wrote in to say that her husband was a model train enthusiast.
Yes. Yeah.
Then he became a gin enthusiast, and then last week it was that he'd been drinking the Ned, and he'd
been doing the Hacker.
Hacker in his front garden without his pants on.
So Megan has wrote
in to say, boys, I may have to stop Craig watching.
Hold on, bit patronising, but that's fine.
All right, I'll do it in French. Garçon.
Is that better? A little bit.
Slightly sexier. Sexy and patronising.
Sexy and patronising, just how we like it. Go on.
Boys, I may have to stop Craig watching, as this week he's been getting into old fashions.
Oh my God.
While this on its own doesn't concern me too much, his attempts to recreate Connor's whiskey rocks, however, do. Instead of doing what any sane person would do and ordering some of his own, instead, he's taken to sneaking out after 9 p.m. in order to grab a handful of gravel from next door's drive.
Yeah, okay. We make a stupid show. We make a stupid, stupid show, Darren.
I'm glad you're laughing so much, though, because I wrote these about 5 minutes before we came onto this call, and I thought they were really shit.
Oh, God.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, preserve you mean you got them.
I got them, and I piled them together. Yeah, sorry. He then runs his ill-gotten gains under the tap and places the gravel in the freezer. I dread to think what he'll do if he continues watching you. I'm almost missing the model trains.
God, what have we drank this week? We drank a lot more gin, so I think he's just going to be back on the gin.
Well, maybe listen to me and get into tea, so...
Maybe he'll get into his herbal teas.
Somehow, I know Craig.
Yeah, weird that.
Last one. Like I said, there weren't loads this week, but...
Yeah.
Do you want to guess?
Yeah, big one. Is it our Monopoly playing couple? Is it one of our Monopoly playing couple?
Do you want to guess which one?
Mary, is her name Mary?
It's Mark.
Is it Mary?
No, it's Mark.
It's Mark, is Mark. It?
It's Mark in Hackney wrote in to say.
Mark and Hackney.
Oh, this broke my heart a little bit.
Did it?
I listened back to your show and now understand that my attempts to make myself attractive to my housemate were misguided.
Oh, mate.
I see now that maybe my love for her will never be reciprocated.
Oh.
That's okay. While it hurts, I've always believed that if you truly love someone, sometimes you have to find a way to make peace with the fact that they don't love you.
Uh-huh.
This week, I shall try and go back to how I was before this whole situation started, as I think that will make her feel more comfortable. I should probably also confess that I've been routinely cheating in our weekly Monopoly games by dipping into the bank when she wasn't looking.
Mark, you saucy dog. You saucy, saucy boy. Oh, poor Mark.
Sophie hasn't written in.
Sophie and Hackney hasn't written in. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning into this episode of the Apocalypse Office Party with myself, Connor Maud, Darren Hill. We really appreciate it. Give us your positive thoughts. give us any drink recommendations, what you've been up to. Let us know. Let us know how you're liking the show so far. If you've been keeping up with it, that'd be really cool. It's been really nice.
If you'd like to tell us how, what you think, what's going on with Sophie in Hackney and why she hasn't written in.
Yeah, that'd be, you know. Maybe Sophie.
Or predictions for what Craig will do next week.
Yeah, that'd be fun. but ladies and gentlemen, this has been a real, as always, it's been a real pleasure to be your hours long, or if you've got this far, however much content and entertainment we've been able to give. I know kind of one of the running jokes of this is it's really for us, but also if we've managed to even make one person sort of like get taken out of this for a little while, is, you know, then we've done the bare minimum.
If we can take the edge off,
we could possibly do even, yeah,
we
even
just take the edge off. If we can be the Alka-Seltzer of podcasts, I'm all
totally
for
okay with that. Yeah, but as always, thank you so much for watching, thank you so much for listening. We will see you very, very soon.
Bye, friends.
Bye.